Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and joining me again today is my co-host, Tony Pimpo. And we're going to be continuing our conversation around principles of success. And today we're going to be talking about responsibility and what it means to take responsibility and the importance of it in being able to grow your career, your finances, and just get better outcomes in life in general. So you ready to have this conversation today, Tony?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, ask yourself this question. If you're wondering if, am I a person that takes responsibility or I'm not, have you ever blamed your circumstances, your boss, your business partner, or the economy for where you are today?
That's a good question.
It's a good...
Minds all across the nation are thinking about it right now.
That's right. So if you're pointing... The saying is, if you're pointing at somebody else with your finger, you've got three fingers pointing back at you, right?
Yeah.
And so I was listening to Jim Rohn the other day. A lot of his content is fantastic, but he was talking about how your philosophy changes a whole lot of your outcomes. How you think determines that. Because he says, if you blame, you know, if you're a farmer and you blame, well, we didn't have enough sun, you know, or, you know, the soil wasn't good enough, or we had too much rain or not enough rain, or whatever, the seasons were just kind of off this year or something like that. Well, if you blame the sun, the soil, the rain and everything, that's all you got. And the seed, you're like, well, it was the seed's fault. It was bad seed. Well, if you blame all those things, that's all you got. So if you blame all you got, you don't have anything else to work off of, right?
Right, yeah. And it's kind of maybe jumping ahead of ourselves, but when you do that, you cede all of the control to external forces. And yes, it's like, it's not that there aren't any forces outside of your control, because there are, sure, but what do you do with some of those things that you can't control, right? So the weather, in the example of the farmer, or you make a decision that no matter what there are as far as external circumstances, I'm still going to do something with what I have, right? But when you let those external things be the determining factor on whether you succeed, then all of a sudden success is not in your hands at all, right? That's not a recipe to go anywhere or do anything.
Well, and so when it comes to responsibility, like you said, there are things outside of your control, but don't use that as an excuse.
Yes.
Look at that and say, well, what can I control? I can control my response to this and how I interact with these ingredients. I know a farmer, actually, we're sitting here at our headquarters for our company, and we're on a farm right now in our studio, our farm studio, I guess. But we had a farmer who was farming. He retired last year, but a lot of people complain apparently because of the weather getting their soybean harvest out. If a lot of people plant later, and there's probably reasons for that. And I'm not a farmer, so I'm not hating on farmers that do that. You probably have a reason for doing that. But sometimes in our particular area, it tends to be really wet at the end of the season getting the beans out. And some of your harvest can actually get ruined, or you can ruin the field getting it all rutted up and stuff because it's too wet while you're trying to pull it out. Well, he plants, you know, 3 weeks earlier than everybody else, and he gets his crop 3 weeks out 3 weeks earlier than everybody else, and he generally avoids 80 to 90% of that, right? And so he's been farming for 50 years or something crazy like that, and so like he learned a thing or two, and so he learned, hey, there's a pattern here.
Yes.
So rather than complaining about, man, the fall in the Memphis area seems to be really wet, wonder if I planted 3 weeks earlier, if you do it too early, you could run some risks, other risks, you know, that would include, you know, the harvest not coming through in time, et cetera, et cetera. But he was able to adjust and take responsibility for that and be able to pivot so that he was able to get better results. He took responsibility for things.
Yes.
Even though the weather is something out of his control, he could control how he
reacted to it. Because if he just looked at it as, well, it's a fact of life, right, that we have wet, you know, seasons of growing, right? He could have missed that opportunity, but by taking responsibility and saying, I'm going to react to this in a way that ensures success, he found a way to be successful.
Yes.
Even with some things that are outside of his control. So you need to make sure that whenever you're looking at a situation, you look at it as in, I can do something in this. Mm-hmm. I can make a decision. I can happen to this situation versus just
you happen to life instead of life happening to you.
Right. Exactly. I love
that. Dave Ramsey talks about that. You happen to your money instead of, you know, money problems happening to you.
Yeah.
I love that, you know, and because the thing is, has the blame game ever fixed anything for you?
Right.
That's probably the question we should have started with.
Yes.
Has the blame game ever fixed anything for you? Because when you start blaming your circumstances, your boss, your partner, your business partner, the economy or the political environment or whatever, then those are obviously things, like you said, that are outside of your control. But and what we're talking about is this concept of an internal locus of control versus mm-hmm. an external locus of control, which, again, the external locus of control says other factors dictate what happens in my life versus an internal locus of control says my control is located from within, and through the help of and grace of God, I can actually happen to life.
Yes.
You know,
and that's a big change in thinking, but it's a change that successful people undergo.
Yes.
Right.
Because people that just let life happen to them and don't take responsibility for anything, they have a tendency to be significantly less successful, or they're literally depending on blind luck.
Yep.
To be successful in everything, all the external factors to line up. And how rare is it for all the external factors to line up perfectly?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's a biblical principle. He that regards the wind doesn't reap, right?
Right.
There's
a planting and reaping there.
Yeah.
If you're worried about all the external factors, then you're never going to get anything done.
Yeah, because you're constantly looking at it and saying, okay, it's not the right time.
Right. So let's define responsibility a little bit in this context. So there's kind of two different ways I like to think about this, two aspects of responsibility. And there's probably others, but there's two that come to mind. One is owning your decisions. Okay, so you can't own other situational factors, right? External factors, but you can own your decisions, which we talked about is kind of how you respond to things. And secondly is owning the outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I had a situation, a deal that went bad, or I didn't close that sale, but instead of saying, wow, they weren't interested, or man, you know, it just happens sometimes, or, you know, it's a things like that. You could say, well, what decisions did I make that affected the outcomes? I'm going to own the outcome regardless of all the external factors, because my decisions can play a big role in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because next level people don't give in to that blame game and always blaming others and blaming external factors. Instead, they look for ways of how can I own this? Right. How can I own the outcome? Because if I can find a way to own the outcome and how find ways of things that I could have done differently that would have changed the outcome, now going forward, I can change future outcomes.
Yes. You can't fake something that you don't own, you know, when it comes to your life. If you have that ownership of it, and whatever happens, I'm responsible. You can take those lessons like you're talking about and bring them into future situations and learn and take every opportunity as a learning opportunity. And then suddenly now you do it that much better next time.
So then failure is not ultimate failure.
Right.
It's just simply a stumbling stone or maybe a stepping stone mm-hmm. on the path to success, because you can actually learn from it and do something with it.
Yeah, everyone fails.
Yes.
So it's like successful people fail, unsuccessful people fail, but how you look at it and where what you do with it as far as your mindset is really important. Because if you let the failure get to you and you don't try again, or you do it with less confidence, mm-hmm. or suddenly things start to snowball because, you know, you make mistakes because you're going into it very too cautiously, for instance, because you failed last time. Well, that can cause its own narrative to form. Mm. So you really have to...
It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy
sometimes.
Exactly. Your anxiety breeds mm-hmm. the fear that the situations that creates the outcome that you were afraid of to begin with, right?
Yes.
It becomes this negative cycle, whereas a positive cycle says, hey, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to own the outcomes. I'm going to own my decisions, but I'm going to adjust and pivot and work with that, right? Yeah.
You can't beat someone that just keeps coming back.
Yes.
And tries it again like it's the first time, in a sense. Not of don't take into account your lessons, but like coming at it with a fresh,
a righteous man falleth seven times and yet he riseth again. Yes. He gets back up. Success is not the absence of failures, but it's the resolve to just never quit trying.
Absolutely.
If you're the last man standing, like you win in a lot of, in a lot of things in business and finance and a lot of areas of success is just being the last person there standing, right?
Yeah.
And so when everyone else gives up, quits, or points the blame at something else or whatever, if you just keep on trying a lot of times, learning from your mistakes and take ownership for it, and this by virtue of that, it really makes a difference, you know? Because what really we're talking about, what people tend to give into is victim mentality. But that victim mentality kills momentum. Because if you relinquish ownership of the outcomes, then you become a victim.
Yes.
And victim mentality, it's not biblical for one, but it is innate in our nature to want to give into that, to offer that up as an excuse. But really, that is relinquishing control. That's living beneath your privilege as a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a victim, you're not a victor.
Right.
But we're called to be victorious. We're called to be the head and not the tail. We're given dominion from the very Garden of Eden. We're called, man is given dominion, but we have to exercise that. We have to operate in that. And we are under authority, like in, you know, we're, you know, once we're saved, we're under the authority of Jesus Christ, but we have to operate in that. We obviously become, get in alignment with the will of God and the, you know, the commands of God and all that. But once you're a man under authority, you can operate with authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you start shifting your mindset, then it's like, well, okay, I understand that from a spiritual standpoint. I understand that from a church standpoint or, you know, all that. But we're talking about this actually has implications for your finances, your business, your career, things like that.
Natural implications as well as spiritual ones.
Absolutely, because these go hand in hand. You know, I think of the difference between Adam versus David. So Adam and Eve, they played the blame game.
Yeah.
In man's fallen state, it's natural to play the blame game.
But it's the default.
But we don't look at Adam and look at that and say, man, that was really awesome that he did that. We look at him as weak. That was a moment of weakness.
Right.
And God helps us in our weakness. But if you're playing the blame game, you are giving in to that natural instinct of a fallen man to point blame at others.
Yeah, and no one gives him a pass.
No one does.
Nobody says.
God doesn't. Oh, no one else does.
You know, he got roped into it. He really didn't. I mean, yeah, right? Like,
whether he did or didn't doesn't matter. He has to own the outcome.
He did it.
Yes, he did it. He had to own the outcome ultimately because God judged him. Compare that to David, who ultimately, when it was pointed at him, said, hey, he was confronted, he owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you own it, it paves a path for redemption.
Yes.
If you point fingers and take the blame game, it paves a path to cursing, which cursing, being cursed, just means to be lowered, to live beneath your privilege.
Yes. Right?
But redemption takes the person who's been lowered because of sin and situations that, you know, they've fallen short.
It lifts them up.
It's a redemptive lift, right? So when you are willing to own your mistakes, Jesus gives us the redemptive solution. The same, I mean, that's a spiritual, but there's also a natural implication that when you own your situations, your responsibilities, if you're in head over heels in debt, if you are struggling to pay bills,
those things own you.
Yes. If you're giving into a victim mentality and saying, hey, I'm all this weight is on me and it's owning me, it's dictating my life. If you give into that, my business is failing, you know, all these different things. That's a victim mentality. That's an oppressive place to be. However, if you say, hey, I own the fact that maybe I wasn't as financially responsible as I should have been. I didn't practice stewardship as well as I should have. Or maybe I didn't anticipate that the economy is going to change, right? That there's going to be crazy things that happen. Oh, wow, elections happen every 4 years, and that's usually a disruptive cycle. Wow, I should have planned for that, right? And I didn't, right? If you start shifting to where you say, okay, maybe there's things I can change, I can start affecting the outcomes, it's amazing how that redemptive lift, God meets you where you're at. And once you start making changes and positive things and start taking responsibility, then God gives you the tools and resources and meets you where you're at and starts lifting you up.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. So again, this is both spiritual and natural.
Glory to glory, right?
Yes.
The Bible says that you go from one level to another. And I think that results also lag your sowing. And what I mean by that is you may still be experiencing some of the effects from some of the previous things that have been sown, right? Some previous decisions that you've made. But when you take responsibility and you say, I'm going to start planting new things, sometimes there's a waiting period between when the new things take root, right? And you see results from that. But I think just being patient to say, you know, the results are going to take a minute to show up, but when they do, wow, right? That's going to be a new process that has started. Yeah. Now I'm seeing the results of new and good things that I've sown.
Mm-hmm.
When before I might have experienced, you know, negative things that have been sown, right? Mm-hmm. But owning the fact that, hey, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap.
Yeah.
Right? Natural and spiritual, both areas. So
it's a principle that stands.
It's a principle.
In both
yeah,
worlds.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, there's so many principles. You know, it produces after its kind.
Yes.
Right. And the seed always has a there's a multiplication factor in whatever seed you're sowing. Right.
Good or bad. If you plant bad seed, it's going to reap a bad harvest.
Yeah.
And you're going to have lots of snowball effects in the negative.
Yep.
But if you plant good things, it starts to yield a harvest.
Starts
of good
to snowball
things.
for the good. And the best thing to do. You know, it's like in a garden, you plant and it has the ability to crowd out those things that are not so good, right? If you have an open field, weeds are going to grow in that, but a cultivated place,
yes,
it's much harder for those other things to get in. And when they do, you pull them out, right? You go and you pull the weeds. But I think, you know, just in your life in general, start sowing good seed. Take responsibility for that fact and then watch the results, but have the patience to see them through.
And you have to cultivate that because it starts in the garden of your mind.
Yes.
The seed you plant in your mind and how you think, your mentality, your philosophy, like Jim Rohn was saying, it affects so much of what you do. You know, I don't remember this story. It's been told many times and I don't remember the exact, I don't remember if it was true, like based on a true story. I think it may have been originally, but there was two brothers and they grew up in an abusive home and their dad was an alcoholic and all these different things. And just a terrible situation, right? A horrible upbringing. And one of them went on to replicate itself, you know, replicate his environment. He was super negative. He was a druggie, alcoholic, you know, abuser, you know, things like that. And then, but his brother went on to be wildly successful, never drank, had a very healthy home, had a wonderful wife and children, and was successful in business and finance and so many different things. And they asked them, you know, independently, they were doing I believe it was a study, and they're like, you've probably heard of this before.
I've heard this.
And they're like, so why? I mean, like, well, these are two vastly different outcomes. And the first brother is like, well, how could I have been any different? Look at my dad, you know? He basically trained me to be an alcoholic, and he offered me alcohol when I was younger. And, like, I got sucked into the trap. And, like, how could I have been any different, right? External factors, right? He was pointing the blame, didn't take responsibility. Whereas the other brother says, how could I not have been successful? How could I have not? Because look at where I came from. Look at my dad. Look at the example I had. I wanted nothing to do with that. I owned my decisions. He was offering me alcohol. He was offering me this. I had, you know,
it's like, all in how you look at it.
It's perspective.
Like, if you ask the question, why are you not successful? I had a bad upbringing.
Sure.
Why are you successful? I had a bad upbringing,
yes.
Right?
It's, I was like, so poor growing up, that drove me to success.
Yes.
I was so poor growing up, I had no opportunity, so therefore I just became poor.
Fell into it.
Yes.
And said, I have to be the same. That's what I had experienced as a young person. The other one said, I do not want to experience that.
Yes.
I'm going to do the opposite, right? So it's all a mindset thing because they both went through the same thing.
The environment was the same. The upbringing was the same. The situation was the same. The outcomes were totally different.
They talk about nature versus nurture, right?
Yeah.
And there's some aspects of it where,
you
know, it's easier possibly, obviously, if you have a framework that's right from the start, of course, you know, but you are in control of your framework.
Absolutely.
You can change it, right?
Well, speaking of that, let's wrap up with a few practical tips and ways people can start changing their mental framework, start changing their outcomes. And one is to change your language. And I'm not just talking about like eliminating the four letter words, although you should probably do that.
Yes.
you absolutely should do that. ASAP. Right? but you need to speak life.
Mm-hmm.
If you are always, if you evaluate yourself of speaking negative things all the time, or you surround yourself with people that are always speaking negative things, you need to become aware of that.
Yes.
But because the Bible says that there is death and life in the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can start speaking life, that's sowing seeds of opportunity in your brain. If you say, God loves me, he wants me to be successful, he desires for me to be blessed, he desires for me to be have a good family and to be a good testimony and to be a witness and to be a good discipler of other people, and you know, all these different things, if you start seeding that through words, because God, when he created the world, the first thing he did is he spoke light yes. into existence, which exposed a lot of very unruly things, right? The world was without form and void and all these different things, but he spoke light into existence.
Yep.
He moved and spoke before anything really started to take shape. So you got to start there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what are some other things that we could do beyond just speaking life and speaking to it, what is possible?
Well, you definitely have to speak life, which is in the positive, right? But I think, if you find that to be an issue, one of the things that you could do right from the start is to stop talking.
Just take a pause.
If you
have nothing good to say, say nothing at all.
You know, and just, and sometimes like if you have a tendency to just kind of stream negative things, say just stop, right? I think doing that, first of all, is a win, but then it enables you in your mind to start not just not thinking negatively, but to start thinking positively. And then you end up speaking that way.
Yeah. It's right? a process.
It's a process. So I think just stop sowing the negative things is like the number one.
It's clipping the wires. You have to cut the wires and then start rewiring
and then
your
start
brain.
Rewiring. Yeah. And so maybe it's difficult for you to just, you know, speak positive after you've only spoke
like,
negative.
I'm positive. Well, it's going to rain.
Yeah, exactly. Stop talking, right? And that, I think that's the first thing. So that kind of goes with that. And then, of course, speak life. So as quickly as you can, speak differently. And then, like we talked about, own the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. Recognize, you know.
And own the good and the bad for the outcomes, but also the inputs. Own the fact that, say, hey, the reason I'm thinking negative and I have this negative perspective is I listen to a lot of negative news, or I've surrounded myself with negative people, or I've been feeding this, or I've, you know, I have bad finances because I allowed myself to get financially out of control. I allowed that credit card person, you know, that offer that came in the mail. I took advantage of that. Right. And I didn't have the tools to be able to, you know, to manage that wisely or
and
whatever.
Start putting in good inputs.
Yes.
Right. Listen to positive things, listen to good music, listen, right? So, I mean, switch your inputs and then it's going to be a whole lot easier to have good outputs.
Yes.
Right? Maybe that's one of the first places you could look. What are my inputs?
Yeah. What atmosphere have I allowed myself to be in?
Yes. What am I choosing?
What am I choosing to passively come into my heart, into my ears, into my eyes, into my mindset? What am I allowing to be feeding in?
Because you could think, well, I'm not choosing it. It's just happening. Well, you know, you can make some changes. Maybe the music at your work
turn
is
the
really,
radio station off.
Really bad, right? Well, maybe that's like not your.
You're saying if you don't have control.
You can change your input. You could put your, you know, AirPods in, right, and listen to something else. So I'm saying like there's ways that you can make other choices with your inputs, even in bad environments.
Even if there's negative coming in, you can find ways to add positive.
Yes.
Instead of being like, well, I have to, where I work, they play this terrible music. So when you get in your car, what do? You turn on the terrible music because I have to listen to it anyway. No.
Make a decision.
You know what? I want to try to do something totally different. So own the good and the bad, but own the inputs and own the outputs.
Yes.
You know, I think that's because if you can start owning the source, a lot of the outputs will take care of themselves. If you get intentional about the atmosphere you start creating and allowing to feed you, then a lot of things will start becoming better.
Fruits are connected to the roots, right?
That's right. I like that. The other thing is, you know, we could probably discuss this more in another episode, is run a responsibility audit. What are the things I'm good at taking responsibility for? What are the things I'm not good at taking responsibility for? Mm-hmm. What are the things that are outside of my control? What are the things that I actually do have control of? And kind of run some scenarios and be like, okay, this is my outcome that I have now. I want to change that. What are the inputs and outputs? And start doing this responsibility audit and start owning it. What are some other things, Tony?
Focus on what you can control. Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned in that responsibility audit, there's going to be things that you see are very much in your control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, own those things, focus on those things.
Yes.
If you focus on the things that you can control, it will outweigh the things that you cannot.
Right.
And
there's a peace that comes with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like,
I've done everything I can do.
Right. And there are places where you get to and that's all you can do. But there's a funny thing that happens when you start to focus on the things you can control.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my experience, the field that you're playing on of things that are in your control versus outside your control expands.
Mm, yes.
So suddenly when you own and focus on and do well with the things you can control, the playing field expands and suddenly more things are in your control.
That's good.
You have more responsibility, right? To whom much is given, much is required. With whatever level you have, if you do the best with it, I think that expands, and suddenly things that may have been genuinely out of your control before now suddenly are in your sphere, if you want to say it.
That's awesome. So. Well, I think kind of lastly, especially if you own a company or you're the leader of your home or anything like that, or you're a team leader at your place of employment, is work to build a culture of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage people that are under you or over you, if as much as you're able to take ownership. And it starts with you by leading by example. If you're the leader of your home, take ownership. If you make a mistake, admit it to your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a negative situation, if you've got issues, financial issues, go to your wife and say, hey, look, I have made some decisions that have not been positive, right? Start building a culture of ownership in any area that you can, in your company, if it's, you know, not growing like you want or whatever, own that and then go back to the team and say, hey, let's create a plan to move past that. And part of creating that culture in any aspect, either at church or in business or in your family, is to provide, you have to start by providing, lead by example, but then provide a safe space for owning failure and encourage people to come up with a plan to fix it. So even if other people are having an issue, give them a safe space to be able to say, hey, I messed up. I goofed up, right?
Yeah.
And then say, okay, well, that's fine, but how are we going to fix it, right?
Yep.
I've had people do this before. You know, we've had different employees or different people that work for us, contractors, different things, and they messed up. I have one particular example in my mind right now. I'm an external contractor who worked for us in the past. And, you know, the situation was every time an issue came up, they pointed at everyone else. And you know what? I don't use that contractor anymore. I had a very direct conversation and I said, hey, look, it's okay for you to own mistakes. It's okay for you to do that. If you have an issue, come to me and talk. Let's talk to about it. Talk to me about it. But we're not going to play the blame game anymore. You know, and it was a very enlightening conversation. It was very hard for him and it was very challenging for me. But you know what? We ended that and we were actually able to pray and have a good, we left on good terms.
That's good.
Even though I don't use him anymore because he's still learning
responsibility.
He's still learning how to to do that. But at least we were able to address the elephant in the room. And as a business owner, as a person operating in the business sphere and interacting with people, I couldn't control him. I couldn't control him, his lack of taking responsibility. But what I could do is I could control the atmosphere and our team and whether or not we used him in the future.
Right.
So I chose to address it in a positive as possible way. I created a safe environment for him to be willing to change. And if he had changed, we'd have continued using him.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there's grace that he may be able to in the future. But for now, I also am taking I'm controlling the inputs and saying, okay, we're not taking that input anymore because it's not in alignment. So we've addressed it.
You're taking responsibility.
Yes. So right? There's like multiple aspects of what goes into play there. And ultimately I think it'll be better. So, so just kind of on the final thought here is ultimately Jesus took responsibility for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He owned it even though he didn't commit them. That's the ultimate.
He became example. Sin who knew no sin, yes. Right?
Ownership. If he was willing to go that far, because a lot of times we say, well, it's not my fault. I didn't do it, or I didn't this, or I didn't that. It's not my fault that the project didn't come in on time because of blah, blah, blah. I tried to deliver. I did everything I needed to the customer, but the supplier didn't supply. No. Jesus is our example that he took ownership, the ultimate ownership, even for things he didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now you can't carry the world's problems, like that other guy. I'm not responsible for choosing or making his decisions to like own his own problems. So there are limits, right? We're not God, but
no. Can't take the whole, you can't take the weight of the world on yourself
because we're not God. Right.
Yeah.
But having said that, the example still stands
mm-hmm.
that even if things are outside of our control, we can still own the outcomes and start working from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you want to change some of your outcomes, we have a lot of different resources. You can go to theblessedbusiness.com. We've got courses. We've got a course called the Income Accelerator. If you want to accelerate your income and change your finances for the better, start by taking that course, right? If you want to, we've got a lot of other podcast episodes. We've got more coming out. Subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to start helping change the sphere of influence around you, share this podcast and this episode and others to someone in your sphere of influence. If people are being negative and they don't have the right environment,
just subtly
start sending this out and share this to other people. And by the time they get to this point, they'll know. It's like, see what they were doing there. And start sharing something positive. So you can subscribe and control your inputs, but you can also help your environment by sharing it with others. And hopefully we'll create a whole atmosphere around you of the people around you to be able to share the same vision and be like-minded in pursuing the kingdom of God and being successful from a biblical perspective.
So, sounds like a plan.
Yes, sir. Well, again, tune in next time, and we appreciate your time, and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode.